Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Miss Marissa Kali. Won't you give yourself an introduction? Tell us who you are and what you're really excited about in this season.
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Marissa Kali. I am the CEO, energy giver, AI, everything behind Be Present Events. I specialize in events marketing, both virtual and in person. We do help leaders plan and execute events from workshops to executive leadership workshops or conferences, and also virtual events. Oop, you know, I gotta
That's
put that
probably
on
one
mute.
Of those CEOs right now saying, book my event, book me, book me.
Yeah. Yeah, so my background's in marketing, and when COVID hit, I was essentially in a position to understand digital tools. So I've been very tech forward in my business. I've been working for myself for about 10 years now. So virtual events became a big thing, obviously, when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I like to think, and you know, you might think events are like, you know, a networking event or maybe a big conference with 2,500 people. But in my view, I believe anything that you do for your business is an event when it's forward facing. Mm-hmm. So I do help some people sometimes with their booths at events that they go to or trade shows, because I bring the marketing creativity side to it versus, hey, let's have a bowl of candy and hope someone comes and says hi to me.
So. I've done the conference thing a couple of times, and yeah, there was definitely the bowl of candy folks, but we did a beer pong for money. That was our most successful version. It's always kind of a gamesmanship thing of how can you best lure people who are otherwise wandering around this event floor to come and talk to you, so you get that chance to pitch, because that's why you're there. And, right. You know, there's always that gradient scale of like, okay, I'm kind of here for mostly the talking, but I'll also take your swag in exchange for listening to your pitch, versus those people who are sent like, I need to find X solution. I need to find X program or software that fits my need or niche. So you never know which of the two are wandering around those event floors, right?
Yeah, and there does require some, I would say, emotional intelligence to figure out who that person is. Or, you know, like salespeople, they do really, you know, and I admire them, but I think, you know, sales and marketing is very intertwined. Mm-hmm. And if you're not listening to like what people are saying, then you're just going to like, what they're going to hear is your verbal vomit, right? So you kind of have to learn how to navigate that thing. And I think a lot of people will think, okay, maybe the beer pong was a great for that audience.
Yeah.
And they'll like put it into somewhere else and it like doesn't resonate. Right.
Yeah.
It's just, what is this? I'll take your little koozie, great. But, you know, it could be very simple as like color coordinated shirts or a shirt like that like this sparks conversation.
I just noticed that this shirt is a Wistia shirt that I got at Inbound in Boston when I went to the conference. So some things stick around and some things stick out. Mm-hmm. I did get like a couple other shirts and they didn't make the rotation or pass the wife test. Got
right?
into the bin. Yes. So it is, it's interesting because it's another crossover between branding and marketing. SEO has had kind of a forced renaissance with how Google has been re-ranking things and devaluing sites that don't have enough brand signals. And I'm a big proponent of, and I use this for my clients, I offer my own trash cleanup event service. Because I've seen the value on the SEO side of things of engaging in the community and creating events. But it's also about an awareness of brand in what your messaging is to people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. They have to align. You can't have someone who, you know, is selling a tech product that's like, you know, that's like heavy on AI and then say that we also care really a lot about our environment or have a way to address that, because there will mm-hmm. be people that will say, I will never use your product because it's damaging to, you know, the environment and, you know, all the bad things about AI that we see. And so, you know, just understanding that, I think a lot of people, especially salespeople, they're really good at what they sell, but then they don't know how to blend it into the marketing and branding side, or how to get the, I mean, they know their product, you know, really good, but they don't have the outside perspective to give them new ideas of how to combat that at a trade show where someone's just like, don't want to talk to you, don't care, I know you're going to sell me something, right? So,
mm-hmm. I'd be interested to hear, like, aside from conferences, what are some smaller venue, smaller time, smaller commitment, let's call them achievable events for brands and businesses that you've seen or executed on that most people wouldn't jump to?
Yeah, so a big trend that's happening at the bigger events are adjacent events. So let's say you go to Inbound and someone is going to have like a sponsored happy hour or a dinner. So instead of going to the show and spending thousands of dollars, and I'm on the side of event planners, and that's the hardest job to like sell like event space. But mm-hmm. I think there's a transition now that people are looking for those experiences within the trade show, but also, or trade show conference, whatever, but also outside. Right. And that doesn't necessarily need to be 2 or 3 days before. It can be a year long thing. Like, an example that I have with a client, the brand of the event, there's a signature, there's two signature events in person. There's also a membership style Slack community throughout the year. There's virtual events that bring that community together. And so it's not just like, okay, hope that they show up for May and November whenever we have the fall event. Let's get this brand, you know, and idea and the whole goal of it throughout the year so people can latch onto it and feel that it's something that they're not just going to for 2 days and then it's done, right? So like a holistic view of how your brand intersects with events and the different style of events.
That's interesting, because instead of thinking of event as just like flash in the pan, you're really talking about leveraging that as a long-term marketing funnel, because you're trying to generate a community aspect of getting them into a place where they're giving you their information and, you know, tacitly saying market to me, but also like somewhere where you can build community, engage with these folk, not just in the moment where you want to take money from them, but give them more places where they feel like you are the authority in this topic. I love the idea of creating like a Slack channel that connects to these marketing events so that you can follow up later and offer additional resources that move them down the funnel, right? Because ultimately in SEO, in marketing in general, not everybody, you know, it's like 3% are transactionally ready, like at that moment.
Right.
So there's that 97% of time where they will eventually, or probably might. So getting, capturing that a little more thoroughly by being more long-term minded. I love that concept. Yeah.
I think it's relation to like anything, and it comes from marketing, right? Like you know, I think years ago it was like seven, maybe 5 to 7 touches, and then they're ready to buy. Mm. Now it's probably like 15, 20 because of all the extra channels that we have to reach out and all the extra noise, right? Like, especially if you're in a high ticket package or your event is a little more high touch, right? You're not selling a post-it note, right? So
right. I'm fascinated because I was just speaking yesterday with the guys from Majestic Photo Booth, and they have like a super fancy photo booth they rent out. They've got like a venue placement partnership thing where venue owners can have a booth and then it gets switched to free mode when they host an event for event planners. So I was curious, what are the physical things that you're looking for as an event planner in that space, whether it's like a photo booth or a shrimp bar, like what are the things that you're looking at, to tie that messaging in to make it like, how do you dress things up or keep things bare bones?
Yeah. It's a good question. 'Cause I think everyone, is looking for an experience. You have to tap into that emotional, you know, feeling like I got something from this, and that doesn't necessarily mean something tangible. Mm-hmm. It could be a hug. Like, it could be like, I find myself, just my personality and the people that I hang around with, I feel like I'm a business therapist. Like, people are coming to me, like, I have a problem. And they understand that if they explain it to me, I might be able to provide them a solution. So we have in one of my, I have a partner that is like an agency, right? And we go to different shows. And what we offer, instead of something tangible, like a koozie or a piece of candy, we offer our personal branding lab sessions. So everyone that is in business is a personal brand. And that is, I think, tough for people who have not been in marketing or understand that they are a personal brand. I heard from an HR professional last week that they look on LinkedIn and on social media when that person wants to work for them. Right. They may not have a personal brand, so to say, and they say, this is, you know, my website and this is what I like, but their personal brand is relevant to them getting a job. So we offer personal branding consultations. We go through their LinkedIn. Sometimes we go through their social media, depending on the industry. Like, real estate is really big on Instagram. And we give them advice, and they almost walk away like, okay, like, I'm either on the right track or I need to step it up. And these are some small little things that I can do, because if they're in an industry that doesn't focus on personal branding, then they're kind of, you know, less like their competitors, other real estate agents, for example, other real estate agents or other people trying to sell their home, they're going to go with someone that's out there, right? That's going to feel like their property is going to be marketed to, right? So that's not something tangible. And that is an experience for someone, because they leave thinking they got something from it in terms of knowledge or relief that they're doing things the right way. And those are, it's tough to measure that, because you can't measure emotion really, unless you get like a written testimonial or like a video testimonial, which is always kind of like awkward. Like, oh, wait, make sure you fill out this or scan this QR code. But it is important for everyone to understand the impact that you have at something like that. Very simple.
That makes sense, because it's like, you know, oh, we're real estate agents in Clearwater. Well, there's a dozen or more than two. There's dozens, and there are dozens of us. So there is that aspect of actually finding a way to activate that personal branding. I think I'd be curious, how do you leaven that with not getting realtoritis and having a big picture of yourself with giant hair. Or like, I saw this bill. My favorite was everything we touch turns to sold.
Yeah.
We had a real estate agent friend, and she was like, oh, I make cupcakes, so why don't I be the cupcake realtor? And I'm like, sweetheart, you need to do some Google searches on that phrase, because I think you would get some definite clientele, but I think they might be expecting a little bit different piece something of real else. Estate.
yes, exactly. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, that doesn't have to be a brand, so to say. Like, if they like cupcakes, they can still be Marissa Callie, who likes to make cupcakes, but it doesn't have to be the cupcake realtor, right? Like, it could just be, you know, your branding is you're always at a cupcake shop, or you host events at cupcake shops, or every event that you have, you give a cupcake thing, but doesn't have to be branded in terms of like a trademark or a tagline, right? That can still be part of your brand. So
that's a good point. Like, there's there's this concept of like, oh, my brand is my logo, and my logo has a platypus. So I need a platypus costume, and I need platypus business cards, and a platypus shaped car, and a platypus shaped business, and all of these platypus logos everywhere. But that's not branding. That's
no. I don't even know what to call that. And I think those out there type of brands that might be the platypus realtor, they may be many, many years into their career, and they're just silly, right? That's just them. They have enough clientele. It's when people, you know, start out in real estate and they're like trying to figure out what their brand is. Well, sometimes you don't know that. You just have to have a presence. You'll figure it out. It'll come to you, you know.
Yeah, it's like a car dealership, you know, like you don't have to have like the Uncle Sam costume every single day. Like, your brand can be, we don't hard pitch you as you step in the door. Like, our office is open, come and talk to us. We don't shark you, you know, like that can be a brand, but you don't have to like have like a shark net and like spears and everything. Like, it's just kind of ham-handed kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people will do that. I mean, we talked about it, you know, they're starting out, okay, I have to have a brand. And it's like, just start talking to people. It'll come to you.
So I'm curious if you think this is valid. I've talked with several different SEOs about the through the looking glass representation of businesses versus online. And so you'll have what you do in the real world needs to be mirrored in what's presented or available or findable online. And so like, the best businesses try to match what they do in the real world with what is represented online. So that means if you're staging up photo booths for Gucci, then you can't have a one-page website built on GeoCities, you know, because it's going to be a mismatch between what you actually do and how you're represented online. And that's not just like in design or aesthetic of the site, but actually going out and when you do events, making sure that they're listed in event aggregator sites. Because that's always, you know, like taking that time of like, okay, well, maybe they are scheduling or planning to do something. How do you talk to your clients to make sure that, or take those steps yourself for your client to make sure that what they're doing is represented online?
Yeah. I like to, you know, going back to the touches, right? Like the marketing touches, you have to think about, where is your audience going to get the information? And then if they get the information, make sure it's correct. But if you cannot figure out, let's say, you know, for me, like if I'm switching a brand or switching a vertical of what I would like to offer, there's this analysis paralysis of like, oh my gosh, like I have to change my whole website. but I'm offering this new thing now, blah, blah, you know, and it's like they just don't do it. So I think when you think about where your audience would be looking, or if they would be searching, or, you know, you make sure those things are, you know, tightened up, right? And make sure that it represents what you're doing. The problem I think people think about is it's too much, so I'm not going to do any of it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, I got to update all of these platforms.
Yeah.
Yes. But also providing, when you're at the event, maybe providing a way for people to actually go to the right channel. I think there's this, you know, when social media came out, I mean, I was in digital marketing and it was pretty easy to set up a Facebook page, Instagram, LinkedIn, and you're good. Like, you don't need to put anything else out there, right? Now you have Substack, you have your email marketing campaign, you have TikTok, you have YouTube, you know, all these other platforms. And I think people are like, we're everywhere. Go find us. Now, if you can't do all that before you're starting to market yourself in person, then I think give the tools to the people that are there, or the ones that you're reaching out. Like on my website, I'll only do LinkedIn and Instagram, right? Or, you know, if I want people to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'll just put LinkedIn. Even though I have all the other platforms, they're just not built out in a way that represents who I would work with, or who, you know, is. And I'm speaking from a solopreneur status, which is like a realtor, like an SEO specialist that's freelance, or, you know, anyone who has to manage everything, right? And I think we all get overwhelmed and we just don't do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're not giving them the tools in person as well. You're just hoping that they search you after, which,
that's good.
You know?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
And it's also like each platform, people are going there for different purposes, and you engage in that network, in that platform differently. Like Instagram is very different from Threads, you know, where you have like Instagram, you're just projecting and like putting this stuff out and hope that somebody likes. And that's pretty much it. Like there isn't even an option to directly link to stuff. It's like, oh, check my profile link and hopefully go, you know, through my link tree and get to the thingy dingy. versus like Threads is very like, dear algorithm, I would like to be connected with left-handed sheep herders who are interested in making yogurt huts in the middle of the desert in the Sahara. Let's work together, team. And then X is like, Twitter, there's those who were on X who were Twitter users, and they are there for their specific community, and they're stuck because everybody, like SEO is like that. There's a stubborn SEO community, and there's just a gut-raging gunfight around them of like justice warriors and politics and this, and there's like hunker down like, no, we're only going to talk about SEO. I've got all my SEO friends here, and we're going to keep it real. We're going to only talk about this. But if you jump into it, like I tried creating a new account and like, it's a desert. It's hard to find, you know, the right community there. So it can be scary. But I love that messaging of, you know, understand your channel and push which channel that you are most successful at, you know, where you're most active at, where it's a best representation of your brand. 'Cause you should be, you should have a footprint most places, but just for, you know, for the sake of preventing some weirdo from taking your name and doing, you know, underwater origami or something obscene. But you don't have to do everything everywhere, because then that in and of itself becomes extremely challenging to scale.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. I think you bring up Threads because for some reason I'm getting stuff in my thread feed that like is related to something that I'm not necessarily trying to transition out, but I'm not branding myself as a live stream producer. Like I know virtual studios, we can do tech check beforehand like we did before we recorded. And I've done it for years. I mean, I did it mostly during COVID because all these people needed virtual event, like people to help them in the back end. And that came into my feed this morning. And then I realized, well, like I could respond to this person as helping them, but my website has nothing about it anymore, really, right? Because I want to shift into this new thing. But also knowing that that might not be the best connection. Like, we might not be aligned. Instead of thinking, oh my God, this is someone I could work with because, look, they need what I can offer or what I have offered, right? And just being okay with, like, not necessarily saying yes to everything because there's a reason why you've switched or you want to focus on something else. And that, I think, is a when you're a freelancer and always, you know, really thinking with business development on your mind, it's it can be tough to say, yeah, we'll align if we align. But it ends up not working out if you force it too much, right? So it's just like, yeah, I could help DM if you want, you know?
So. Yeah, if you're too hungry, you know, like it, it is hard, that freelance life of like, it's feast or famine, and I either have I've Ahabbed and I've got my whale and I've got all everything tied up in it, and then they're gone, and then you're like, oh no, I need to, like, and so then you try to cultivate, and I've got an equilibrium of like this client and this client and this client and this client, and this is coming, and but then one dips out, and you got to keep it, always keep that pipeline flowing. So there is that kind of challenge as a freelancer, in my experience. Maybe it's not universal, but I think I've talked to enough people where it's that challenge of keeping enough on your plate, keeping your pipeline flowing so that you, if you do lose one of them, you're not going down, but you also can't always, you know, network and always try to land that next fish, because at a certain point you're going to tap out.
Yes. No, it's a... And I don't know about you, but I have, I mean, in marketing in general, the slow season is like November, December, some of January, right? Because people are like, it's holidays. I don't want to think about any work or pay you for anything because it's the end of the year. But I, it's just, some, you know, you're talking about it and it's a reminder, like set a certain, it's a reminder for me because I set a reminder when I am in busy season, which is right now, April, May, June, July, to like reconnect with those people that may have dropped off, you know, that really wanted to connect and do something in the early part of the year, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Connect with those people that might want to be on a podcast or, you know, different things throughout that time, just little touches that like maybe that in September, October, November, when it gets slower, that's when it's gonna actually formulate. Because I mean, my business, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people that work for themselves, that it, the business cycle is not fast, you know. I'm not talking to you and then tomorrow we're working together, always, you know. It's not usually like that because there's, you know, vetting, there's trust that needs to be built. There's how can you really help me? And that takes time. And I think a lot of people, especially getting started or, you know, kind of re-navigating a new path, don't think about that.
So just two more questions. One is, I'm always curious how people approach boring industries. Like, oh, we have a device that saves 50% on your restaurant oil, you know, or save fry oil, or, you know, I don't know why they're both like waste. Like, these are both clients that I've worked with in the past of like ones where it's like waste oil from oil, mechanic shops. It was like a heater and it would take their waste oil for that they drained and they could use it in their heater. Boring. I mean, it's not a Cabo luxury vacation, right? So what do you do for boring industries to kind of help in their marketing when obviously the niche itself is not going to be, you know, super engaging?
So I always... When it comes to something very niche, I had a client for like 6 years, and we recently decided to go our separate ways, which is kind of like a little sad. But I saw them navigate and be open to new things. So I started with them and they like barely set up their Facebook page, right? They were like, manage my Facebook page. And by last year, we were doing virtual training, like little snippets, social media snippets, and then also utilizing their super fans, which are people that use their product to market for them. So that did require a little bit of extra funds because they had to, you know, basically ask these people to, like, you know, give a video or a video testimonial. But Lena, you know, in a boring industry or a boring, like, not flashy thing, I would say lean on the super fans that actually already use the product and find ways that you can create real videos. Now, I'm not saying like the, you know, I mean, it's for an example, they're in medical manufacturing. So it's like for periodontists and dermatologists, it's glue you use in surgeries in your mouth. So like this is not exciting for most people, but people that use the product are excited to share it because it's an innovative thing for that industry.
Okay.
So they created some visual content, but then we leaned into like the trade show side, you know, having a decent, so they were doing it before COVID and then we kind of like stopped out during COVID because the prices for trade shows just cost a lot more. But, you know, really leaning into like those people that already use it and they have a network, right? Leveraging those people versus trying to get one person or two people that might see it on social, right? That's the hardest part because it might not be the actual person using, like in your example, the oil that's seeing it on social, but it might be their office manager. So you don't know, you have to kind of say, okay, well, how do we navigate this? Because they may not be on social at all, you know?
So. Awesome. Last question is, what's coming up for you next? Is there anything new that you're spearheading? You know, where can people find you? What's your social media poison of choice?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I'm actually working on finalizing details for a retreat that I have in January. So this is for mostly women entrepreneurs. It's boutique style. We're going to have about 15 people. We're going to do that business therapy, basically. Like, what are you working on? What are you intending to do for your business? Now, a lot of people will think, okay, well, I do accounting or I am an esthetician. I'm good. Yeah, but okay, what's next? Like, what's your 5-year plan and how can we set you up? So there's a lot of value, I think, in getting other women together to, you know, and I would help all people, but I just have this thing for, you know, women in my community that, you know, don't get the resources or access to this information because they're so busy in the day to day. So that's my aligned and affirmed winter retreat. It'll be in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And if you want info, you can go to my website, bepresentllc.com/interest, and fill out the form and you'll get all the info. But you can find me on LinkedIn under Marissa Cali, C-A-L-I. I should be the one of two. There's actually another Marissa Cali in digital marketing. So it's kind of funny. We're kind of pen pals on LinkedIn, which is funny. LinkedIn, and I love Instagram because I'm a visual person, but that's more my personal side.
Right.
So if you want to dive into who I am as a person and what I like, then you can go on Instagram at #Marissa. You actually have to spell it out. H-A-S-H-T-A-G-M-A-R-I-S-A. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Marissa. I love the conversation.
Thank you.